The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Amen. So, as I told you last week, we seem to be preoccupied with war. We're either in a war, preparing for a war, recovering from a war, writing about a war, or studying about war. And there's been wars since the day of, I think, man has been created unto this day. And we have all been touched by that in one way, shape, or form. But the wars that I want to speak about are those wars of spiritual emphasis. Because those wars are just as real and maybe more so real than the wars of guns and ammo. And so many times as a church, we're ill-equipped to handle it because we, first of all, are not aware that the war is going on and we're getting beat down every day and don't realize what's going on. Or we seem to not have the weapons that are necessary to be involved in these battles and to be victorious. So that's the plan. So in the weeks to come, we'll address such issues as the wars of powers, the wars of religion, the wars of wealth, the wars for souls, the wars for righteousness. The first sermon that I preached last week, I entitled The War for Truth. And today's sermon is going to be The War for Thoughts. The War for Thoughts. And for today's scripture, I've selected from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. And it says, though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. He's talking to us, okay? He's talking to believers, though we live in the world. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought. There's where I'm going this morning. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. The battle for thoughts is probably, and in my opinion, the fiercest battle of all. Fighting for the thoughts in the minds of each one of us. We live with our thoughts and our minds and those things that are always in there. And you've got thoughts that run in sometimes that you don't want to have. You want to, now where did that come from? Why am I thinking about that? We call things worry. But actually, worry is just our thought process going amok. You know, we're preparing some way for tomorrow as if we had some way of controlling tomorrow. There's no controlling of tomorrow. I mean, we have today. Today's the only day that we have. So in the scriptures, we'll find that in most cases, in many cases, the word thoughts, the word mind, and the word heart are all used interchangeably. So if I do that doing this sermon today, I'm really talking about the same subject. Our minds, our hearts, our thoughts are all together. When the mind is one, when we win a person's mind, we win their thoughts and we win their hearts also. Rick Warren said in somewhere along the line, and I picked it up, he said, when we change the way that people think, when we change the way that they think, we change what they believe. And when we change what they believe, we change the way that they act. So therein lies the real purpose of the Word of God, the purpose of preaching and teaching, is to deal with the way that we think so that we can think differently. It's easier sometimes to conquer a nation than it is to get people to change the way that they think. You know, a friend of mine said one time, his grandfather told him, he said, do you always stop listening when you're sure you're right about something? And boy, isn't that a truism? You know, You know, do you stop listening when you're sure? And we're all that way, and it keeps us from learning new things. It keeps us in bondage many times. We'll say, well, that's the way it is. I can't change. There's no hope for me. I've been this way. My family's been this way. It's something I've lived with all my life, and I can't change this thing. Well, if we can change the way that you think, we can change the way that you believe, we can change the way that you act. All right? And that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to delve into that. Jesus said something that I've mentioned to you on several occasions, and I've actually had people get angry with me and walk out when I say this, but that's okay. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Now, most people, when I say that, they think, oh, that means, you know, be sorry for your sins. Kneel down at an altar somewhere and weep and lament. Put sackcloth and ashes over you, and that is repentance. I don't know what that is, but that's not repentance. Because repentance, by its definition in the Scripture, is changed thinking. Changed thinking. And Jesus said we need to change the way that we think in order to function in the kingdom. He said, the kingdom is here. So our worldly thoughts, in Proverbs it says, there's a way that seems right to a man, and the ways of that kind of thinking are the ways of death. So we can't depend on our thought processes. We need to depend on Christ and depend on the Word of God and depend on what He has said, okay? So we need to change the way that we think in order to function successfully in the kingdom. You get that? Now, don't go study it out for yourself if you have trouble with that, but that is the absolute truth. Change the way you think. The kingdom is at hand. The world's thinking will not work in the kingdom. I guarantee it. Believe me, I know many have tried it, and I've tried it myself. So the first thing that I want to address this morning in this war about thoughts is that you must, first of all, liberate thoughts from evil powers. You must liberate thoughts from evil powers. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We normally think our problem is people. It's not people. It's not flesh and blood. But it's against rulers. It's against authorities. It's against the powers of this dark world. And it's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Well, I'll tell you what, you can shoot all the guns and ammo you want at those things, it won't do you a bit of good. All right? These thoughts need to be taken captive. And the first tactic in our war is to come to the realization that our enemies are not human. They possess humans, and humans use those thoughts against you and against the kingdom. But they're not of human generation. It's not a human being. You know, so often Pat and I, over the years, when we do marriage counseling, and the husband and wife are really at each other's throat, and one of the biggest things we have to make them come to the realization is the problem is not your husband, and it's not your wife, it's that you're focused in the wrong place. The enemy has come in to cause chaos, and what you need to do is focus your anger and your disappointment on the enemy and stop fighting each other. If you stop fighting each other and fight him, you can have a good marriage. And that's a truism. It's in many areas of your life. Is to learn to war against evil forces. Now, let me tell you what we're not. We are not the thought police. Okay? And we're not out to get everyone to think the way that we think. Heaven help you if you thought the way I thought. It would drive you crazy. It drives me crazy sometimes. So it's not about you thinking and agreeing with everything that I am. Well, I'm not looking for clones. And we're not looking to clone you into someone else, into Rick Warren or Billy Graham or, any other of the great preachers of the world. That's not the point. The point is to bring your thoughts into captivity to the mind of Christ. We need to think and act and move as Christ does. Now, there's this thing going around, it's been around for a long time now, about what would Jesus do? Well, I don't always know what Jesus would do. And that thing has been ridiculed, and I've been part of ridiculing it, you know. But there is a truth to that. And the only way to know what Christ would do is to have the very mind of Christ. You might think sometimes you know what your husband's going to do. You're not a mind reader, ladies. And vice versa. All right? You guys are not going to read it. We know you're not going to read your wife's mind. You know, the Holy Spirit has trouble reading it sometimes. You're certainly never going to read your children's minds. That's an impossibility to do, okay? We can't do that. We have no way of doing that. But Christ can. And He can understand what's going on, and He can reveal that to you through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The discerning of spirit, the gifts of knowledge. Those are gifts of the Holy Spirit that are given to us that are the mind of Christ that we can know how to deal in situations when they come up. All right? So, it's about setting minds free that they can have the mind of Christ. Now, people who are living in darkness, people who don't know Christ, this is a major undertaking because we have to deal with them in a different way. And I'm going to talk about that in some detail, about dealing using logic against unbelievers, which never works. But this is a war of transformation. We have to transform people through the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can be changed totally and completely. It's about the new birth. I've on many occasions had the opportunity to share with people and talk to them about the Lord. And when I use my wisdom and my logic, it fails every time. But when I use the Word of God in the mind of Christ, then we can see victorious things begin to happen. We can see God moving. So it really comes down to having a person born again. Our goal is not to change people's in the natural, but to get them supernaturally changed. I understand, I've read about this, I don't know it firsthand, that the woman from New Orleans who wrote all the vampire books and all that, her name is Rice, I believe, Anne Rice. I understand that Anne Rice, who's written some very horrible books, none of which I've read, and I understand she was an avowed atheist, after the last several years, came to the knowledge of Christ. Someone told her about Christ, and she's been transformed. And I saw an interview with her on television where she said that, how life was changed. And I understand that she's written a new book that talks about her changed life, all right? Well, what happened? It couldn't be done in the natural, but in the supernatural, with the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God moving, and the weapons of God's warfare moving, we see a life that was transformed and changed. Jesus used another illustration. He said, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. In other words, you can't put a new thought process into a lost person. That person has to be regenerated in order to understand what you're talking about. Many times we try to teach people the Scriptures. The only Scriptures that a lost person, I believe, will ever comprehend is the Gospel. That's it. That will pierce them, but it's the only thing that really works. There's another illustration that's used that says that we need to take out a stony heart and put in a living, fleshly heart, all right? So this whole process is done by the power of God. We must see our enemies as spiritual adversaries and then take the appropriate action. Realizing that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, against rulers, against authorities in this world, and against the evil of this world. So we come to that realization, and then we use, and I'm going to go into some detail about it, but just briefly, we use the name of Jesus. It says that we have a name that's above every other name, that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So it's the name of Jesus that gives power. I had a man that I know many years ago told me that he worked on college campuses to try to win the college kids to the Lord. And he said they could put up a sign anywhere they wanted on the campus that said, God is love, God loves you. He said it would stay there till it deteriorated. But every time they put up a sign that said Jesus is Lord or that Jesus can forgive sin, it would get ripped down and destroyed. Every time. Because they couldn't stand the name of Jesus. You see, to say God is so generic. You know, God loves you. Well, you know, the Islam says God loves you. You know, and it's certainly not the message that we hear from the Scriptures. But there's power in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, up to this point, he said to his disciples, you have not used my name. But now you can use my name. And when they began to use his name, things really began to change, okay? So using the name of Jesus, speaking of, and appropriating the blood of Jesus and what Jesus did when he died on Calvary. You know, to say, I believe in the blood and the sacrifice of Christ to cover this situation. That's one of the weapons of warfare, all right? Using the word of your testimony. I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I am saved by the blood of the Lamb. I profess the name of Jesus. That's who I am. That is my testimony. And using your testimony in spiritual warfare. Using the word of God. What has God said? And I'm going to go into some detail on that in just a moment. Using prayer and fasting. You know, folks get in a crisis. Many of us have been in crisis now or been in a crisis or will be in a crisis. And when we have a crisis, what we want to do is take a BB gun and try to shoot at our crisis situation. You know, we want an instantaneous result without much effort employed. You know, would you anoint me with oil and pray for me? You know, and I'm not demeaning that. I do it and I believe in it. But sometimes you're in a war, it's going to take more than just one prayer. Sometimes you have to knock and keep on knocking. Sometimes you have to shout and keep on shouting. Sometimes you have to sail hell and keep on assailing. Sometimes you've got to... Wars are not won with one shot. Wars are won by armies gathered together. Why do you think we have the church? We're assembled together as an army of God. Over and over, the imagery is given in the Scriptures about dressing yourself in the armor of God. We're an army. We're supposed to act and move together. But we're so fragmented and we're so disjointed and we've all got our own pet beliefs, and it keeps us from uniting and getting the job done. You know, in the military, the first thing they do is break your will to be independent. They force you to follow their rules because they know in the battlefield you must follow the rules of your commander or you die and the battle is lost. They do that in the military. Well, in the spiritual realm, we need to be doing the same thing. We need to stop wanting to have our way about everything and start having His way about things. Because we will never, listen to me, we will never defeat the enemy with a disjointed army. We need to gather together. That's why I like this little idea that it's said about praying at 10 o'clock and 2 o'clock. That's great. That gets the army doing one thing, thinking on one thing, doing one thing, fighting one battle at a time. Okay, the second thing that I want to talk about in this battle with the thoughts, the second thing is that you change thoughts with spiritual weapons. And I want to go back to the scripture that we read just a little while ago, right? You change thoughts with spiritual weapons. There it goes. The slide is changing right before our eyes, or the computer is dead, or the operator has run away. He didn't like what I said. There we go. Okay, we need to go one more. That's not it. Keep going. We want to be right there. Okay, thank you. You see, you give these guys a new job back there. Give them a little power. You got Jim back there. Nobody's watching him. He's out there playing cards with somebody. I don't know what they're doing back there. Give them to pay attention. You can cut this off the video if you want. Let me pause so they'll have a pause. And now they know where to cut it out. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5. Let's go through it again. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Why don't we wage war as the world does? It won't work. It will not work. You can try it, but it won't work. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments. every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ, all right? So we take these thoughts captive. In other words, we make sure that the thoughts don't get away. Because runaway thoughts are collision. The logic that we use to persuade men is inadequate to change their minds, their hearts, or their thoughts. It's inadequate to use normal human logic. There's a video that I want you to see. It's about 2 minutes long, and I believe you'll really appreciate exactly what I'm saying.
A survivor in this amazing race with a need for speed, you need God's grace. And if you're desperate like housewives watching Days of Our Lives, you can't cope without hope, and that's not on a soap. If you look into Oprah or Dr. Phil, you can shop nonstop or pop a pill, but the void won't fill and the pain won't kill till you love the one that hung on the hill. Kicking back in your lazy boy easy chair watching Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Nah, you're not going to find it there. No American Idol or Council Tribal has a final answer that'll satisfy you. CSI ain't got a clue. SVU don't know what to do. Not the ER, the OC, nothing on a CDT. TV, DVD, or MP3 can save you and me. CNN's got no good news. Here's a headline. You must choose. It's not a simple life, Paris Hilton. It's treading on thin ice, living in sin. You can be an apprentice for Donald Trump or eat Fear Factor fast food from a dump. You can be a heavy hitter, a Wheel of Fortune winner, a Fox News no-spin spinner, a flat-out sinner. But you better check this life that you're living and make sure your sins are forgiven. I bet you 50 cents Elvis Dunn came and went, and eventually every black-eyed pea, Gwen Stefani, P. Diddy, and Britney, every wannabe on MTV with the icy bling, every Dixie chick that sings, they all gonna see the King of Kings. I don't care if you're J-Lo or Leno or Bono. One thing you gotta know, someday you're gonna die, bro. Then where are you gonna go? Hey, I'm not talking some punk junk that's irrelevant like your grandma's church from way back when. It's not some preacher feature on TBN that you need to be liking or listening. The real superstar is Jesus Christ. He's the way. He's the truth and the life. One day he's going to split the sky. He's the brightest light and the highest high. So what I came to say and what I'm telling you is don't buy that stupid stuff they be selling you. It's all designed to fill your head and waste your space until you're dead. Here's the bottom line of my rhyme. Give your life to God while there's still time.
Wow. All right. I was going to say that, but I couldn't think that fast. Wow. All the stuff that fills your mind, all those things that fill your mind, those that are held captive will not be persuaded by mere logic. Here's the persuasion of the enemy. He makes things that are ugly in God's sight beautiful. That's what he does. Pornography. He makes it beautiful. He shows these beautiful people doing these things, and those hooked on pornography say, wow, that's really great. That's the illogic of the enemy. That's really great. Don't know that those people in those films and those photographs and are being controlled by drugs, by evil forces. They can't break out. They're locked in. They're under threat of bodily harm if they try to get out. And that's what the devil makes beautiful. All right? See the illogic of that. He takes guys, a married man that's happily married. He's got a family, and he's working on a job, and the old famous water cooler situation shows up, and there's Miss Wright. In his mind, it shows up. And the devil says, boy, you'd be a lot happier with her. You would be with her, with mom at home. You know, she's getting kind of wrinkly. You know, she doesn't do her hair like she used to. She's a little overweight. She's not the girl that you married. Look at this one. Look how good she is. Look how well-dressed she is. Look how smart she is. Look how well-educated she is. Look how much money she's making. That'll do you a lot of good. That's what the devil says. It makes it look beautiful. Doesn't talk about the trauma that's going to happen when that family breaks up and the divorce, that the healing never takes place, and all the tragedy that families are ripped apart. The same thing with some gal. See some stud in the bar or some guy that looks like he's Mr. Right, and she says, well, I'll just, you know, leave my husband and just go with this guy. You know, everything's going to be beautiful. Everything's going to be great. And the real trauma of life sets in when those false decisions are made by believing the enemy. People have the attitude. The devil gives you the attitude that you got to have everything. We are inundated. Somebody needs to stop the advertisement industry. They keep telling us how unhappy we are because we don't have what they're selling. We don't have it. And if we don't have it, we're going to do whatever we can to get it. That's why this nation is in trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. Not talking about the national government. I'm talking about the consumer debt in our nation, which is way beyond the federal debt. Because we bought that idea that we've got to have it. We'll do anything to get it. Except pay for it. That's right. They get credit cards and they keep upping the ante on your credit card. Well, a $10,000 is not enough. We'll give you a $20,000 limit. That's not enough. We'll make it $25,000. Oh, you don't like this one? Here, or another one. Just roll your balance over. We'll give you another and raise the ante on that one. And people use that and they find themselves deeper and deeper in this hole of debt that the devil makes look so good. The idea of atheism, I can be free. I can do whatever I want to do. If they don't like the rules and regulations that God set in place, just change the rules. Make up your own God, one that you can worship and one that you can control. That's what people do. That's why they live like hell in their lives in such wrecks. And you can't use logic in order to deal with people who are being held by the possession of the enemy. You must use spiritual weapons in order to change the thoughts of a person. Here's a few illustrations for you. Logic. You go to someone and you say to them, what you're doing right now is going to kill you. You tell them that, you know, if you keep smoking those cigarettes, you're going to die. I got a brother-in-law who's dead because he didn't believe that. And what's really bad is he was in the medical field. And he used to tell us all the time, it's not true. There's not enough evidence. There's not enough medical evidence for it. And he died at a very young age because from the complications of smoking cigarettes. So, the illogic is that no, that is not true. Talk about the divorce. We tell people all the time, you know, if you get divorced, your children are going to suffer for this. And you know what the illogical answer to that the devil brings up? My children will be better off. They'll be better off. And every child that I've ever met who's been a product of a divorced family carries guilt and hurt and pain all the days of their lives because of the divorce that took place. They feel responsible in some way for what took place. And it changes them and it hurts them. Some of you in this room, some of you watching over the internet will know that to be true. And you may have been involved in a divorce. You may be a product of divorce. And you know what I'm telling you is true. And the only hope you got is Christ to heal things. And to forgive, and to get you on the right track again. Logic, you tell someone if they don't change their ways, if they don't repent, they'll die and go to hell. Their logic is, there is no hell. That's what people will tell you. There is no hell. I don't have to worry about that. There's no hell to worry about. We just live, and when we die, they just throw us in the ground. That's the end of us. Well, you wish. You wish. When they throw you in the ground, it'd be just the beginning. The first thing that's going to be thrown on you is mud. And it gets worse after that. But you see what I'm saying? When you're trying to use logic against a demonic controlled mind, it will not work. You must use the spiritual weapons that are able to deal with the illogical thoughts of someone who's held captive. You must rely on the Holy Spirit. And I know some of you don't like to hear about the Holy Spirit. You'd rather hear about Jesus and about God the Father. But let me tell you what. He sent the Holy Spirit and He said, don't do anything until the Spirit gets here. And when the Holy Spirit came, things changed. Guys who couldn't do anything right suddenly began doing everything right. The power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of sin. You cannot do it. You're not the morality police. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that convicts people of the sin in their life. And what you do is you tell them what the Bible says, you read it to them, you don't beat them with it, and you try to get them to listen to the Holy Spirit and give Him the opportunity to be involved in the process. You use intercession. You know, it's a word we don't like to use very much because there's another word associated with intercession. It's work. This is the prayer that we all like. Heavenly Father, would you please take care of my child, Joey, because Joey is just a wreck, or Beverly, or whatever her name is. Will you just take care of them? Lord, I believe you do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Let me go turn on the American Idol or something else on TV or to watch it. I don't want to spend any time. When's the last time you interceded about what's going on in your life? I'm talking about got down on your knees and pray. Cried out to God, wept and lament, and kept knocking and knocking and knocking, losing the power of the Holy Spirit in that situation. I'm telling you, some things are not going to happen without intercession. I'm sorry, folks. That's just the way that it is. And it's one of the weapons of our warfare that we must use is to intercede and to pray and to ask God. And you keep knocking and knocking and knocking until you get the answer. And God either says, yes, I'll do it. No, I won't do it. Or shut up, I'm tired of listening to you. Which you'll never do. But that is intercession. Well, I'm going to have an intercession prayer tonight. Let's see, I'm going to do that from 7 to 7:15. Well, forget about it. Intercessory prayer, spending time with God, asking, explaining, laying out your case to Him. You can't use logic on the devil, but you can use godly spiritual logic on God. He'll listen to you. You can tell Him what your needs are and ask Him to move. But we just live in this instant society here in our country where we expect things to happen instantaneously. One little prayer is all we want. Just give me a, you know, and I want to go about my business. It just will not work. One of the things we've learned around this church is about fasting. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful spiritual weapons available. We've seen changes here in what's going on in our lives and in the life of this church through fasting and prayer, through the 21 days of fasting that we had at the beginning of the year. I don't know about you, but I'm getting hungry for another fast. I'm getting ready for another one. I just get ready. I might call us for a 3-day, 7-day fast pretty soon because I believe we need one.
Yeah, I agree.
There's so many things going on that we need to start fasting and praying and continue that. It's been 6 months since we had a good fast. But during that fast, we broke down strongholds. We saw things happen, and things are continuing to happen. The Holy Spirit, intercession, and fasting. We need an attitude that refuses defeat. You need to start believing that you have the power to do something.
Amen.
I hate people who say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you're not. You're the glory of God filled with the power of God. You're redeemed, the righteousness of God. You're not some weak little anemic stick man in a character cartoon strip on a Sunday morning, but you are powerful through God.
Amen.
Greater is He that is in you than he's in the world. I'm going to say that again. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have great power and great authority, and you need to start seeing yourself as that. Man, I tell you what, if I was in the army, I wouldn't want to go to battle with a bunch of stick men who are afraid of their own shadow. I'm going to battle. I want guys who know how to fight the same way in the spiritual realm. To know how to pick up our weapons of warfare and to use them for one another. When I'm sick, I want somebody who knows how to pray to come pray for me. When somebody who cares, somebody who knows God. I've told this story before, but it's worth repeating. Oral Roberts had a good friend that was sick, and his daughter called and asked Oral Roberts to go to the hospital and pray for him. And Brother Roberts said that he went to the hospital and he walked in. The guy's daughter was there and some family members. He said, we had some small talk. He said, I went up to him and put a little oil on him and put my hands on him and said, you know, Lord, would you just heal my friend? And had a little 30-second prayer, and he said, well, he wanted to leave and let the family to be, and he walked out. He walked out in the hallway, and the daughter ran out there. The guy who was sick, the daughter ran out and grabbed him by the arm and said, Oral Roberts, don't you pray like that for my daddy. I want you to pray like you believe God will heal him. I don't want those kind of little prayers. You're a man of faith and power. Get back in and pray for my daddy. He said he went back in, prayed a prayer of faith and power, and God healed the man.
Amen.
Believe him. It's one of the things I had to learn as an elder. You know that scripture, we used it this morning, we prayed for Miss Bobby. It says, call for the elders and let them pray a prayer of faith, anoint them with oil. I just thought I had to anoint people with oil and just pray for them. That was it. That's not what it says. It says a prayer of faith. I found out I was supposed to believe that God could do something. And I had to change the way that I pray for people. I believe when I lay hands on people, I believe they're going to get healed. They say, well, what if they don't get healed? Then I'm going to pray the next time. And I'm going to keep praying until we see something happen. That's praying in faith and believing God. An attitude that refuses defeat, and we need to be aggressive against the enemy. We need to be aggressive. We need to stop being a bunch of pansies. I had a book that I read called Men Wild at Heart. The guy that talks about how he went on a trip up to Alaska. And he had a buddy with him, and they were going to photograph Kodiak, Alaska, the grizzly bears. And he said they were walking through some high weeds. He said, there we are. He said, we had, at the time, 35-millimeter film, you know, little things around our shoulder and our camera bags, and we had our little hats on, and we were walking through the woods. He said, here comes a couple of guys coming in the other direction. He said, they had rifles and guns and ammunition and helmets all over them. He said, they walked past us. He said, I felt like a pansy compared to those guys. And that's the way we are. We're like pansies in a war. We need to be aggressive. We need to have an aggressive attitude, a can-win attitude. You know, I don't want to misuse this analogy, but I'll tell you what. One of the things that Sean Payton did down in New Orleans with the New Orleans Saints, and the reason they won the Super Bowl is he changed their attitude. He got them believing they could do it and made them go out and do it. He got them a bat. Everybody on the team got a bat. Y'all remember that bat. It says, take the wood to them or something like that. And get serious about it. But we need it the same way in this spiritual warfare. Otherwise, we lose the war for thoughts. Okay. The third thing that I want to speak about, third point in the sermon, is this. You transform thoughts with the Word of God. You transform thoughts with the Word of God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. The Word of God is our offensive weapon that we use against illogically controlled thoughts. The Word is living and active. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is living. And Jesus is contemporary for today. And we use this living Word. You know, that's why you can read something one day and not have a clue what it says, and then come back a week later and read it, and you find the greatest revelation you've ever seen, because it's a living. But notice that it's living and that it's active. It's not just ink on a page or on a scroll, an ancient scroll. It is what God has ordained that you and I should know and that we would need in order to be effective in the kingdom of God. That's what the Word of God is for. That's why we have it. You've heard it referred to as the instruction manual. And it is exactly that and more. Because it's not only instructions, that it's living and that it's powerful. It says that the Word of God penetrates. That's one of the things it says, is that it penetrates. If you can think of it this way, let's say you have a bacteria of some kind, and you go to see the doctor, and the doctor gives you an antibiotic. Sometimes he gives you an injection, sometimes he gives you a pill. Those antibiotics, through some mechanism that I don't understand, know where to go and what to do. When you use the Word of God, when you're speaking to someone who is either lost or a believer who is confused, that Word has the ability to penetrate that person's soul and mind and spirit and do what you cannot do otherwise. It knows exactly where to go and exactly what to do, bypassing the mind and dealing with the spirit. I remember when I went to Picayune, Mississippi in 1972. I was just lost as a goose. I had all the logic in the world. I considered myself an intellectual. I was in a great field that most people didn't even understand. And I had a measure of success. Had a lot of peers that, you know, we just were in this special good old boys club. I was just an intellectual from that perspective. I had thought God out of existence, according to me. Not according to God, but according to me. But when I went into that man's house and he used the Word of God, which I didn't believe, by the way. Thank goodness he didn't ask me if I believed the Word, because I'd have told him no. I just told him it's a bunch of fables. But when he used the Word of God, the Holy Spirit pierced my soul, and my spirit bypassed my logical mind and dealt with me. And in that day, on August the 8th, 1972, at 1:30 in the afternoon, I was born again, not of flesh and blood, but of the Spirit of God. That is the power of the Word of God. And that's happened to many of you. It wasn't what you were thinking, it was what the Holy Spirit was doing. The Word of God judges thoughts and attitudes. It goes directly to the heart of the matter. So that your illogical thinking doesn't make a good argument against the Holy Spirit and against the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit allows the... It's the Word of God working in conjunction with the Holy Spirit piercing your illogical minds and bringing the wisdom of the Word of God and the Spirit of God into a person's life and changing their lives. That's what happens. That's why people are so different. That's why I was so different. I don't even know who that guy was back in 1972 that walked into that house. He's dead and gone. He's disappeared. Something happened to me that I can't explain. Something happened to you that you can't explain if you're a believer. If you're an unbeliever, you can explain everything. You got a reason for it all. Why you do what you do. Well, I do this because, and you have some logic behind it. I want to tell you one of my favorite stories in the Scripture that addresses this very issue. Jesus was with his disciples one day, and he said something to them that just blew their little minds. He said, I need to go into Samaria. And I could have just, if we would have been there, you'd have heard them all say, he said, what? No Jew ever goes into Samaria. They were half-breed Jews and Gentiles, and they hated them with a passion. That's why Jesus used those Samaritan illustrations all the time. And he said, I need to go to Samaria. Well, you can believe me, those boys weren't happy that they were going, but they were followers and they went with him. They got to a place called Jacob's Well. There's a well where you get some water right outside of town. And I guess he sent them off to go get some food in town. And he's sitting there. This woman shows up. And she gets there and he said, could you get me a drink of water? And she looks at him like, you're asking me, a Samaritan, to give you water? I mean, this is unthinkable. Absolutely unthinkable. They didn't even talk to each other, Jews and the Samaritans. I mean, it was hatred beyond any bigotry you've ever seen here in the United States. And he said, lady, now she's talking water. And he says, lady, if you knew who it was you were speaking to, you would have asked it of me, and I would have given you living water. See, the Spirit is speaking, all right? She uses her logic, and she said, you don't even have a bucket. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well? She said, man, I wish you could give me some water, because this is a lot of work. You got to go down this well. You got to carry it up. It's heavy. Man, give me some of this living water, exactly what I need. He said, go tell your husband. She's talking about water now, and he says, go tell your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He said, you're doggone right you don't have a husband, because you've had five of them, and the guy you're living with's not your husband. You see how Jesus always bounces the ball in the other direction? Because he wants to get past the logic of the mind to deal with the Spirit. To deal with the Spirit. And he finally convinced her. He finally convinced her that what he was talking about had nothing to do with water. He said, you folks think you You've got it right. You're worshiping God here in Samaria. He said, and we're down in Jerusalem, and we're worshiping God down there. He said, but the day's coming, lady, when you will worship me in spirit and in truth. When that lady got finished talking with Jesus, she was so transformed, she went back to town and told everybody what had happened. She got her own little revival going. And that's what the Word of God does. It deals with people where their needs are, not where their minds are. Jesus did that over and over and over again. The woman caught in adultery, brought before Him. And He wrote in the sand. I don't know what He wrote, but I know it was the Word of God. It had to be. He was God. And He was writing words, so it had to be the Word of God. You ever thought about that? I mean, He might have told John and Paul and some others. I don't know what He wrote. But whatever He wrote, the Word of God pierced their anger and their self-righteousness and made them realize that they had problems. He said, let the one with the view that's here without any sin cast the first stone. And you know the rest of the story. And they walked away. And He said, lady, where's the rock throwers? And she said, got me. He said, I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. You see the power of the Word of God? So in order for us, and you know, to understand it, is that God sees and penetrates in places that you cannot do with your own mind. So if you have lost loved ones, stop using all your logic. It won't work. Stop telling them how crummy they are. It won't work. The only hope you got is telling them about what the Word of God said. You can tell them about what happened to you. That'll work. You can tell them about what Jesus did. That'll work. You can tell them about what's in the Word of God. That'll work. But trying to argue with them will never work. You will lose that argument every time. Jesus sees things and brings people to the place where they are accountable to Him. Not to you, but accountable to Him. So, in recap, we know that the Holy Spirit shows up and changes us. Changes our minds and our thinking. And He changes the way that we transform. He liberates men from evil and spiritual weapons and changes the very thoughts of men. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Let's all stand. Next week is Father's Day, and we're going to have a special message in the same continuing series of the war for the innocent and the helpless. The war for the innocent and helpless. And that'll be a good Father's Day message for each of us to hear. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We ask You to cause it to penetrate us, Lord. Penetrate our hearts and our minds. And teach us the things that we need to know in order to serve You. Lord, don't let us keep wandering around in darkness and in confusion. But set us free. Lord, You and You alone, as that woman said, have the words of life. You and You alone can bring us to the place where we can worship You in spirit and truth. Lord, and we bow to You this morning. Father, let those who are listening over the internet or watching this video over the internet, Father, I ask You to speak to their hearts right now by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, that their thoughts and their minds and their hearts would be set free and changed that they might have the mind of Christ. And Father, we pray together in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen.